It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up later on the show, we'll discuss the discovery of asbestos fibers at the proposed iron mining site in northern Wisconsin, what it means for the current debate.
But first, the world's population is expected to hit 9 billion by the year 2050, and many people are left wondering how we're going to feed all of them. But according to our next guest, instead of worrying about producing more food, maybe we should take a closer look at how we use the food that we've got now.
What we're already doing is wasting food. 40% of the food grown in the U.S. ends up in the trash one way or another. Our next guest says dealing with this waste is going to be the next revolution in food.
Joining us now is Rehan Harmansi, deputy editor at Modern Farmer, and her piece Food Waste, the Next Food Revolution, is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. Rehan, welcome to Central Time.
Nice to be here.
Well, your article points to a lot of ways different people are trying to reduce food waste, but it sort of begs the question, how did this get to be such a huge problem? We're talking about 40, close to 50% of food waste per year.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that in the U.S. and a lot of Western nations, we got here thanks to consumer waste, and a big part of that is the way the cost of food has changed over time. Food is cheaper these days than it ever has been. And I think that a lot of people point that to that as a big factor in consumer waste.
There's a statistic, I think, that I've heard that the food thrown away in developed nations equals the entire food produced in 1 year of a growing season in sub-Saharan Africa. It kind of blows the mind.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the numbers we looked at were really just at such a huge scale, you know, and especially when you put that in, as you said before, the context of a growing population on the planet and how are we feeding them, it does seem that if we could get a hold of food waste in its variety of forms, then that would really, it would go part of the way to solving that problem.
Give us a sense of where most of the world's food waste is coming from. Who's doing it?
Well, so when we started looking around, we realized pretty quickly that research shows that the model for food waste in developing nations and Western nations is almost a complete inverse, where in a lot of developing nations, most of the food waste happens going from farm to market, you know, kind of a lot of technological challenges with refrigeration, you know, sort of efficient systems, et cetera, waste food. But on the Western side, it's coming from consumers. And the U.S. is one of the biggest leaders in terms of just amount of food waste. But then per capita, there's a lot of countries that also can be kind of pretty bad offenders, like the U.K., for instance.
Now, is it individual people mostly that we're talking about, stuff that goes bad in our refrigerators and we just chuck it out, or are we looking at sort of large-scale food waste?
Well, it kind of has to be, you sort of have to look at it all. A big part of it in countries like the U.S. and the U.K. and Europe in developed nations is consumers just throwing stuff away from our refrigerators, or restaurants throwing stuff away, or kind of like, call it post-consumer waste, what we throw away from our fridges. But then there's a lot of other different kinds of waste. For instance, supermarkets these days are very sensitive to the idea that they think consumers don't want to see damaged produce, which means that a lot of times food gets thrown away, like, you know, bananas that are bruised that are perfectly edible but may not be the best looking.
Is part of it, too, that we're conditioned to want to buy these giant economy size packages of things now, too, and maybe we just can't eat the giant family size.
Yeah, yeah. One study University of Arizona did showed that 14% of the waste they saw from Americans was unopened containers, which is, you know, maybe one of the, I mean, that's sort of like the worst end when you're kind of throwing away packaged goods. But, you know, there's a lot of room and ways to improve, too. There's a lot of new companies out there that are trying to get a better hold of the data. It turns out that we don't really know that much these days about where we're wasting. Because the price of food is so low, a lot of people and businesses kind of, you know, are like, well, it's easier just to throw that out and to try to figure out the labor costs of, like, you know, counting, you know, just where we're actually throwing away these goods.
So it's one thing to say that we're throwing away a lot of food. Everyone, I assume, feels that or hears that and feels kind of guilty, probably as they should. But then on the other hand, you know, what do we do to convince people that we should care and that it actually has maybe an economic impact on, you know, the price of food and on our own budgets?
Well, you know, we looked at the UK as a place where a lot of there are a lot of really great public programs, private-public partnerships designed to raise awareness around food waste that seem to be working. These efforts, led by this group called RAP, you know, brought grocery stores in the mix and created these, you know, these sort of forward-looking kind of cool events. We talked to some people who suggested that, you know, watching out for food waste was, you know, I think dumpster diving has a certain pejorative in the U.S., but they were looking at it slightly differently, and it became sort of respectable to care about food waste.
And how do people respond when they become aware? What should they be doing, ideally, if the message is hitting home?
Well, I think that you can look inside your own fridge and your own kitchen in terms of, you know, what, you know, when you're throwing stuff out, why are you throwing it out? We included a list of tips in the story. So I think when you're shopping, think about, like, are you buying what you need? Or are you just kind of, like, grabbing the biggest thing? I think, you know, food banks do a lot of great work, and then if you have extra food you're not eating, you should sort of be in touch with them. There's a lot of apps you can use these days to help you kind of meal plan. And then, you know, go to a restaurant, take a doggy bag, you know. And then I think on the sort of larger scale, I think that grocery stores, food retailers, and even farms should take a harder look at a lot of the food that's being rejected for aesthetic reasons. And I think that in an even bigger kind of holistic way, and something Modern Farmer is very interested in, is kind of thinking about, like, maybe, you know, shop at farmers markets, kind of get closer to the source of your food, grow your own food. Like, it's a lot harder to kind of waste if you don't understand what is going into the work of growing food, which is, I think, some people have been theorizing that's why we waste more now. We just are a little bit more removed from it than we used to be.
It seems like in the environmental movement right now, there's a lot of emphasis on personal responsibility, you know, taking the bus or biking instead of hopping in your car. But what is being done to sort of change the culture of waste at a bigger level, maybe at a legislative level, maybe, you know, at a cross-country effort for grocery store chains, for instance?
Well, I think that the first step when we talked to a lot of people seemed to be research. Like, before we really could figure out solutions, obviously we need to understand the problems better. And last year, the NRDC put out a really good report on food waste that I think awakened a lot of people and different political stakeholders in terms of, you know, that's where we got numbers like 43 billion pounds of food in the U.S. was thrown away just on the retail level. So data is, I think, one of the biggest pieces. And then, you know, public policy campaigns, raising awareness, that's a big piece for the consumers. And then I think also giving grocery stores and other food retailers tools to better sort of save their food or funnel it into food banks or other programs that don't put these things in the landfills. And then also I think there's a technology component where there are certain municipalities and even private companies looking at these, they're called anaerobic digesters. And basically that's trying to get food out of our landfills, which is another kind of related problem to food waste. So these digesters are taking, like, basically a material of compost and turning it into energy. A lot of activists don't feel like we should be focusing on that because that doesn't actually stop the flow of waste. We kind of create another sort of thing to fill when you're looking at creating energy from this, but it definitely helps the environmental impact of food waste.
Well, right now we're talking with Rehan Harmansi about food waste in the United States, and we want to hear from you. Is this something that's on your radar? Do you feel guilty when you throw out stuff from your fridge? And what sort of things are you throwing away? What about those expiration dates? Are you kind of religiously observant about throwing stuff out when it's past it? And should we be? Another question we'll get to. You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're picking up our conversation about food waste in the United States and around the world, and we want to hear from you. Have you taken steps to reduce the amount of stuff and food that you throw away? Why do you think we are so prone to chuck out good food? Is it just because it's past the expiration date? And where do you see people wasting a lot of food? Is it at a farm, at a grocery store? Maybe you're the chief culprit. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. And Rehan, I want to talk about the expiration dates because, you know, just from a personal perspective, I used to think that you do not mess with the expiration dates. It's even a day before I would chuck it out until my husband told me that they were more like gentle suggestions. How do you see expiration dates?
Well, I went through a similar education process around expiration dates. Now I see them as basically useless for consumers. Harvard University and NRDC came out with a report this fall about expiration dates that had a bunch of interesting facts. And then one of them that there's no federal rules around expiration dates, so states make different rules. And then in addition to that, individual stores start chains label things differently. So you go into a store in Massachusetts and see, you know, a bunch of sell by, best buy stickers on it. There's a bunch of laws around expiration in Massachusetts. Next door in New York State, there's actually no laws about expiration dates. So the stickers you see there are voluntary and it can mean a bunch of different things.
So who's responsible for the drive in expiration dates? Why are they there at all if they don't help the consumer?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different verbiage in these expiration dates that mean different things. Apparently in the 70s, there was a moment when Congress almost made a national law around them, but then failed to do so. So, like, for instance, sell-by dates usually are just for employees who are, you know, sort of putting the stuff out so you can look at. They don't have any kind of information that indicates, like, food safety. And then best buy dates a lot of times are the same sort of thing. They're really kind of designed to inform employees about how to stock things.
Well, let's go to our calls right now. And we've got Steve in Winona, Minnesota. Hey, Steve.
Hi.
What do you think?
Oh, well, I worked at a grocery store chain, Raley's, out in Reno, Nevada in 2005. And the amount of waste, you know, from their in-house bakery and deli and meat department, I mean, they had to throw away on a daily basis, you know, all this food and such under the locked, you know, dumpster and stuff. Nobody could, you know, come on the outside and get it or anything. And it's all a liability issue, you know, as far as, you know, well, we can't give it away. It's, again, you're talking about outdated or something. Well, I don't think anybody's ever got sick from a stale donut or something, but they still had to throw it away. And they told us that, you know, the grocery stores only work off like a half a cent or a penny, you know, profit, but they, $45 million a year, and I'm not sure how many stores Raley's had, but that's how much they said they throw away every year.
All right. It's thanks for that perspective, Steve. You know, he's talking about grocery store waste and mentioned the locked dumpsters, so I guess that prevents dumpster diving. Would it be helpful if big stores just left their dumpsters accessible to people?
Well, I think Steve raised a really good point, which is that, I mean, there's a difference between prepared food rules around donation and then canned goods. You can't really give prepared food, even donuts or, you know, other things that don't really usually carry a lot of safety problems. You can't donate those to food shelters, which is why restaurants waste so much, because they you know, there's liability issues there. So the U.S. actually does have some good laws around donation that shield food banks and other places from being sued, but they also have other rules that make it harder to donate food. So I think that there still might need to be some work done in this arena.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Steve, for your call. And let's go next to Jill in Oconomowoc. Hi, Jill.
Hi there.
Hi. What do you think about food waste? Yes, you're on the air.
Okay. Well, I was calling in. I never do this, but because this is something that I've been kind of passionate about in the last couple of years, I work in an elementary school,
mm-hmm.
and I see so much waste of the food that these children are having at their lunches. And part of the problem, it's so multitude. It's partly the parents, I think, and partly the food service, and partly the children, of course. But it's, I don't know, I see so much going to the garbage, and I try my best, individual by individual student, to, you know, make a difference just by talking to them about making choices of something that they might like or not like, you know, asking their mm-hmm. parents to make them a half of a sandwich instead of a whole sandwich, asking the food service if they could cut the fruit, an apple or an orange, instead of giving it to them whole. I'm not sure how a first grade or kindergartner or even second, third, or fourth can cut, you know, deal with a whole orange when they have another, you know, their sandwich to eat.
In a short lunch hour, right. Well, thank you, Jill, for that thought. So what about schools as places where food gets wasted?
Yeah, I mean, I think that institutions like hospitals and schools are definitely a place where a lot of food gets wasted. I talked to an organization called Lean Path that works with universities and schools and other kind of non-grocery store and non-restaurant dining places to reduce food waste. And a lot of it comes down to collecting data, educating workers. Until Lean Path goes into places, a lot of times people just don't know what they're wasting. So I think, you know, if you can kind of get more structure around recording what you're wasting and what you're not, people can make better choices.
Okay, well, thank you for the call, Jill. And on to Mike and Racine. Hey, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, as someone who's actually been involved in testing related to product expiry, I'm going to tell you that it is not in the company's best interest, it is not in the store's best interest, economic or otherwise, to leave something on the shelf longer than a time in which it's reasonable to expect that there is either going to be some kind of a wholesomeness problem, or there's going to be some kind of a problem with taste, texture, something that's going to turn the consumer off. If you think about it, companies that are out there selling these products, they are trying to make a profit by selling you a product. They make zero profit. In fact, they incur a loss if they set their expiries too short.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Mike talking about how there's a reason that stores do this and they don't leave it sitting there longer. What would you say to that?
I mean, I think that's a great point, you know, and that was something I was very curious about. You know, it seems like stores would have a built-in interest around not wasting products, you know. A lot of people I talked to said it came down to labor being a bigger, much bigger cost than individual bits of produce especially. So I think that when you come to making these decisions, and again, there was also an expectation around aesthetics that is not always related to taste or definitely not always related to food safety. So I think it was about, a lot of times it's about incentivizing not wasting things better. You know, there is obviously an incentive not to waste because you'll lose money, but, you know, I think that there can be other ones. And a lot of it came down to also having the best data around what was being wasted when, you know, how things can be made more efficient.
Let's give the last word to Rosalind, truck driver on the road. She emailed in and said, I made a delivery a couple days ago to a bakery that distributes to a lot of the stores. They were throwing away perfectly good bread just because the label was wrong. That, to me, is disgraceful. A whole trailer full of bread, 40,000 pounds of bread being thrown away because the label was wrong. That's food waste. That from Rosalind. And we'll leave it there. Rehan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking to Rehan Harmansi. She is deputy editor at Modern Farmer, and her piece on food waste is linked on the Central Time Facebook page.
Coming up next, we'll discuss the discovery of asbestos fibers at the proposed iron mining site in northern Wisconsin. We'll hear what it means for the current debate. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.